are the People's Pod, giving you unfiltered and unqualified content every single week. I'm Cliff, he's Joe. Welcome back, everybody.
What's up, everyone?
We're going to do SBR Awards today, so that's what we're going to have to look forward to. But let's take a double step back looking at the news. Joe, Daniel Gafford's consecutive field goal streak ends just two short of Wilt's at 33 consecutive field goals.
Man, it's pretty incredible for a guy like Gafford. I'm a little happy he did not break it, because I don't think I want Daniel Gafford on this to be the guy on this
list. Yeah, 60% of his field goals were dunks, but they were impressive.
he gets a lot of dunks. He's got some bunnies. Yeah, he's got some hops.
100% of his shots were within the dotted circle of the paint. So not just the paint, but the dotted circle of the paint. It's like putbacks, little bunnies, you know.
So you're telling me that my 8-year-old son has a little more range than Daniel Gafford?
There was not a single jumper. Every single shot he took was with one hand.
Wow.
Or a dunk with two hands.
Hey, whatever gets it done. Nevertheless, incredible. An incredible feat.
Let's stick with the Mavs. Joe, Luka's triple-double streak ends at 7. What do you think about that?
It was pretty amazing. I got to say, like, watching him during the streak, it included 6 straight 30-point triple-doubles, which was a first in NBA history.
Whoa.
And his streak was stopped by injury. Not really a team locking him down or anything like that. So, I think, I don't know, Luka's in that, like, 07 LeBron mode right now. Where he can, I don't think he can win a championship per se, but I feel
spirit
like
bombing?
He can go pretty crazy. Yeah, he's got a really powerful spirit bomb right now. He hasn't yet learned to maximize his teammates. As we've seen, he is suffering a little bit from the law of LeBron, and it actually, there's a lot of talk about that these days.
Finally.
Whenever Luka comes up, people follow us, Cliff. They're about 2 years behind our trends.
About two years later,
they start following us. But as we suspected, guys like Jalen Brunson, they leave, become amazing, right? Same thing you saw with LeBron. And so we'll see if he learns. Yeah, KP, I mean, killing it in Boston. And even last year.
Killing it in Washington.
With the Wizards. He played very well. And so we'll see. What happens? Will he learn? But right now, I think it's fun to watch.
Yeah. A little bit of sad news, Joe. Ben Simmons, 2nd back surgery in his career. He's played 8 seasons, Joe. This is his 8th one. And he's played less games than LeBron has as a Laker.
Wow. I mean, it's not that shocking to hear that. It is sad, though. He's missed a lot of games. He's missed a lot of easy field goals under the basket because he passed it out, but he also missed a lot of games. And so I hope he gets better, man. He did look slightly better mentally more recently, you know, past couple seasons. And so I do hope he gets back.
I think he should just go to the Wiz. Go to the Wizards. No one's paying attention there. Like, that's a perfect spot.
Maybe.
All right, Joe. Last but not least, we know, of course, we got to talk about Doc Rivers. Can't go one episode without talking about Doc Rivers. Recently, he came out and talked about how he told Kawhi that we should have kept SGA. Just come to the Clippers. We'll keep SGA. SGA, he's going to be a future MVP. But he was like, but Kawhi didn't listen. Yeah. So that was the cap that came out. But Joe, did you know about a few of the other times he's capped? Let me read you some of his quotes.
Yeah, tell me.
First one is, I just told the captain, look, no ship is truly unsinkable, It was obvious to me that the ice was too thick. I did all I could, but the other guys, they just weren't prepared that day. Another one, Joe, famous one, he says, I told Anakin, something's off about that guy. Nobody gains that much power in the Galactic Senate that fast without something shady going on. I just I just had a feeling he was a Sith Lord. And of course,
oh, gosh.
One more, Joe. He said, I told him, like, this guy is the guy you're looking for. How else would the meth be that pure? He never thought that it would be a guy like Walt.
How else? He must be a chemist. Let's check the local schools. Let's check all the local high schools.
Oh, Joe.
Oh, man. Yeah, no, he probably said those things. I mean, I'm pretty sure. He was there, Cliff. He was there. He knew. Was he there. Was like, hey, you know, there's something about this guy. You know, I don't know if we want him to join us, this Judas guy. He's little. Something doesn't feel right about him, you know? He knew. He knew.
He knows everything. He knows everything. All right. Joe, let's get into it. SBR award season is here. First one up. Let's talk about the Akuma Award. The award that goes to the most OP NBA player this season. Joe, he does everything that Ryu does. Also Ken. Ken's just in there, you know? But he does it with, like, he has supers for every single one, right?
Yep. Double. He does double what they do. You do a fireball, I'm going to throw two fireballs. Right?
You throw a fireball from the ground, I'm going to throw it from the air. It's like, what? Throw it
from the air.
Joe, the contenders this season, we got Jokic. We got SGA. We got Giannis. And we got the aforementioned Luka Doncic finally on our list. Finally comes up on our list. Joe, who do you give the Akuma Award to?
Cliff, I am obviously going to give the Akuma Award to Nikola Jokic.
Oh my God. How does he do it?
He's crazy right now. 26, 12, 9, 58% shooting, 4th in rebounds, 4th in assists, 14th. In points, 11th in field goal percentage, and that includes a bunch of, like, the Gaffords of the world, you know, guys who just...
I know! insane!
Yeah, shooting a couple shots, although Giannis is up there as well.
Yeah.
But he's been amazing. Cliff, just watching him, he just has complete control of the game. And that's what it is. It's not the stats, it's not the feats.
Yeah.
You know, it's obviously not athleticism. Although I did love his all-star performance. I love the jokey layup and stuff. I like it.
It was a top three moment of the all-star game.
Honestly, his trolling, I love. It's kind of a dry trolling. Whereas Luka's is a little too, like, I don't like it. I don't like the 90-foot shot and, like, you know, and, like, the getting sprited. It was funny, but it's a little too, like, disrespectful. I feel like with Jokic, it's just funny. It's funnier.
He totally
it's a little sarcastic,
right.
Yeah. And it's like my brother Cliff. You know my brother. It's yes. Like
for those that know,
you're not sure if he's joking. You're just not sure, right? Was he really trying to dunk that, or was it a joke? You know,
I really can't tell. All just, these years later,
just can't fully tell. You know, and like that's what I like about Jokic. He really gives you the vibe that he doesn't care. But, you know, of course he cares. Like, of course he wants to win.
Yeah.
And he's killing you. He doesn't look like he cares, but he's still killing you. I mean, I feel like that is the most mentally demoralizing. That's got to be the most demoralizing thing for every other player.
That is, like, the perfect way to put it. That is the perfect way to put it.
Right? I mean, because, you know, Giannis gets pumped.
Yeah, of course.
You know, SGA talks trash. Luka talks like, man, Jokic doesn't, he doesn't even care enough to talk trash to you. He's just going to somber or shuffle on you, make a three, and just not even care. that's OP. If that's not OP, you know, when you drop the controller, you do your super, the stupid super where he disappears, you drop the controller, he beats you, you're on the ground. And then he just stands over to you and, like, kind
with
of
the logo.
Like, yeah, I mean, obviously I won. Like,
it does like OP. 80% damage.
It's a stupid. Come on, man. What is this super? You can't. The screen blanks out. I don't know what I'm doing for like a couple seconds, and then I'm dead, just like that.
Like, why does it exist? Why? Why do they have that?
I mean, for anyone who never, like, if you've never played this and you're just picking it up and somebody's using Akuma on you, you're like, dude, what? What is this cheating? It's just cheating.
It's also that's such a
that's Yoke right weird, now. I weird mean, thing. It's, he's cheating. He's cheating, Cliff.
For to go back to what you said about him not even caring about trash talk, we've known from the greatest trash talkers that have ever played in NBA history, the thing that bothers them the most is non-reactions.
Mm, yep.
That's the thing that bothers them. KG yeah. talked about this. Yeah. Gary Payton talked about this. KG yeah. talked about it, especially with Tim Duncan, right? Tim Duncan would laugh. And then yeah. he would come back and he said he would hit you in phrases. He wouldn't like trash talk you. He wouldn't like yell at you. He'd just be like, gotcha. Bank. Oops. Left side. Right side. And like KG's like getting yeah. crazy worked up, right? He's all angry. He's like pumping you. He's like yelling things. And he'd never look you in the eye. So he's like, who are you talking to?
Yeah. That's kryptonite to a trash talker who needs you to fight back, to get upset back, right? It's like when they don't get upset, because you need – a lot of times those guys, they need to get emotionally worked up, right, to get the adrenaline going and to elevate their level. But Jokic is just like, I don't care.
It's the perfect pairing, right? It's the Mentos with the Coke. You got to have both of those things to make it explode. But when it's just Mentos, it's just the Fresh Maker. That's all it is.
For you, you're like, come on. Because, you know, they want the explosion. But, yeah, I mean,
yeah.
If you don't fall for it, then, you know.
But, again, look, Jokic is incredible. Basically, if you look at the advanced metrics,
yep.
of the 15 best PER seasons in NBA history, the last four Jokic seasons are all on them. All four are on them. Crazy. Filling yeah. up the rest. Steph and Embiid have one appearance on there. Jordan, LeBron, Giannis have two appearances on there. And Giannis has, and Wilt has three appearances on there. But Jokic's last four seasons, including yeah. this one, are all yep. on there. It doesn't make sense. If you watch him, it doesn't make sense. Dalsim fighting and beating a Zangief character doesn't make sense. Why is Yoshimitsu bringing a sword to the Iron Fist tournament? It doesn't make sense. None of this makes sense. Jokic looks like he's playing with slides. He's playing with slippers on the court.
Why does he have a sword?
I don't know why Yoshimitsu has a sword. It doesn't make sense. How could he bring that in? It's about fighting with your fist.
Why is that allowed, guys? Why is that allowed?
It doesn't make sense. Jokic doing a step back, be over, like behind your head, three, yep, contested against what's likely going to be the defensive player of the year, Anthony Davis. It's in his, and he's guarding him well. Somehow he makes it. This is not the first time he's done it on him. It doesn't make sense.
That move is so crazy. Man.
It's insane. It's an OP move. I don't know if I've ever seen anything like it.
I think, you know, when did he start doing that? Like a few seasons ago?
Yeah.
I think before that, I was less inclined to think that he had that level. Because he didn't have a move. You know, he didn't have like an unstoppable move. Yeah, and now he does. And it's just, I don't know, man. I don't know.
It's his signature. He's stepping back. He's stepping back. Oh my god, it doesn't make any sense right now. But you know, like, for, and I'm talking about OP, right? This is the OP award, best player in the NBA award. It's not MVP, right? Because SGA definitely has an argument to be MVP. Sure. But
yeah,
he doesn't have the freaking Akuma Shungotsu Satsu go dark Right? And instead of gliding, Jokic is walking there.
There's no blackout. He just walks up to you, and you're like, whoa, whoa, whoa. What are you doing? What are you doing? Oh, oh. It's over.
But the crazy thing, again, about Jokic is you can't appreciate him without watching him. And even watching him, you really have to pay attention.
Yeah.
Because what you're saying is absolutely right. What he does is he controls the game. And what he does is make you give up because he just doesn't care.
Yes, it's amazing.
Like, those two combinations, like, really are, like, what makes him really special. He also, of course, has a really soft touch around the rim. You know, he can shoot, he can do everything, but really,
I feel like
it's the awareness.
It is the most efficient way to win at basketball, right? Like, the Kobe way is, like, I'm going to get the best out of you. I'm going to pull the best out of my opponents. And yet I'm going to overcome them. Do you know what I'm saying?
It's the worst way to win basketball.
Yeah, it's the most inefficient way to win, right? Because you're going to get the best punch from your opponent. Jokic is like the before the fight, hey, what's up, man? You know, like, you step to the middle, and he's just like...
The boxers put their hands out, and Jokic is putting his hand out for a high five.
Before UFC... Right? Like, you step to the middle, and this guy has a, you know, he's just, hey, what's up, man? Love your family. Love your, you know, your kids. How they doing? Like, literally, you know, 5-minute conversation. And then you're supposed to go destroy this man? You're supposed to go and, like, you know, and he's just going to jab you, and then all of a sudden you're in a submission. You know, you're like, you're being choked out, and you're like, what happened?
He totally is a submission specialist.
It's like, what happened? How did I get here? And then you lost, and that's it.
Oh, boy.
So,
oh, boy.
It's the most efficient way, because you're not pulling the best out of your opponent. Your opponent's mad at himself that he can't get more excited, you know, that he can't, like, summon the energy to defeat you. You're losing, and you're just like... confused, you know, you're like, why are we losing? What's going on?
It is very confusing. I, as someone that's watched a lot of Nugget game and has seen him up close, it's very confusing.
I know, like, when people lose to the Nuggets, I feel like they're not mad though. Right? Do you know what I'm saying? Like, they're just like, dude, I don't know. Like, what are we supposed to do? Like, they're like confused. You know, when people are losing to the Hawks. They're, yeah, like, pissed. They're, yeah, like, oh, yeah, my freaking gosh. We cannot lose to Trey and DeJounte, yeah, and, like, these fools, like, clowning us and, like, you know what I'm saying? Like, trying to dribble through our legs and stuff. Like, I cannot handle this, right? But people lose to the Nuggets, they're just like, oh, I don't know. They're good. Like, what do you want us to do? What do you want us to do?
All right, Joe. Let's move on from the Akuma Award to the Hitsugaya Award. And for those that don't know Hitsugaya, he is the captain from Bleach who is called the Prodigy. They haven't seen this level of talent in millenniums. Millenniums.
Thousands of years.
Thousands of years. Yet, he has never won a battle. Not one in the show's history. Not one!
Fillers, Cliff. He wins in the fillers. He gets his little filler victories.
Of course, this is the...
new non-canon episodes so he can win some fights.
Of course, this is the most overrated award. Yep. I was going to give it to Vegeta, but Vegeta's actually won.
Yeah, Vegeta's legit. He's contributed.
He's contributed, especially since he's gotten to Super Saiyan Blue now.
Yeah.
Joe, it's the most overrated award. The nominees, we got Jason Tatum. Oh, we got Paul George, and we got Karl Anthony Towns. Joe, who do you give the Hitsugaya Award to?
Cliff, I gotta go PG. I just gotta go PG. I mean, look, Tatum, we've had our battles with Tatum, okay? And there was a point where I feel like he was very overrated. And then he somehow got underrated, and now he's probably slightly overrated again, but not crazily. And also, there are some people criticized. Like, there's people who finally noticed, Cliff, again, 2 years after us, that he has not been clutch, and he's had some struggles in the clutch.
I think this one is, like, 4 years after us.
Yeah, maybe. But You know, but we've been up and down on him. I think we underrated him also for a period of time, right? So, so that's just to be fair, right?
They, and they have the best record in the NBA by a long shot. So,
look, and that's the other thing. Look, Tatum's been to the finals. He's gone deep in the playoffs several times. He overachieved in his early season. So I get why people might think, okay, this guy, he is the second coming or whatever, right? So that's fine. I think now he's fairly, like, fairly rated, except by Boston fans who think he's, like, the GOAT or whatever. But, you know, that Boston fans are Boston fans, guys. We know that. Every year they think they're going to beat Miami, but then they lose every year. So, sorry. Okay, PG.
Well, let's talk about Cat first.
Okay, let's talk about Cat.
Cat. Bounce back season.
T-Wolves actually points, pretty good this year. Yeah, T-Wolves
are good.
They're playing well. He's hurt now, so he can't fail miserably.
And he's living up to his moniker of he's the best shooting big man, where he's shooting 42% from three.
Sure. So he had a monster game this year.
Yeah.
You know? 62.
Give him some credit.
In a loss to the Hornets. I mean, you know, that part's not great, but what do we expect?
He's definitely a nominee.
This is the thing, though, Cliff. Everybody on the internet, we're the people's pod, right?
Yeah.
All the people know about Cat. Okay, yes, maybe the media doesn't know about Cat. The people all know about Cat. The people all know that Cat's a fraud. The people all clown Cat. And they also talk about how, you know, he's sus and all that kind of stuff. Okay, look. That's Cat, all right? So I don't think he's overrated with the people. Mm. Cliff, I don't get Paul George. Why do people love Paul George so much? I don't get it. I loved Paul George. When Paul George was in Indiana, he was one of my favorite players.
He was one of your
favorite like players. 2013 Paul George. You cannot get me to stop talking about Paul George dunking on the Heat, like getting hype. And he did amazing on that team. Some people are like, oh, LeBron overcame the pace. Guys, this is
the
like
Pacers.
Roy Hibbert and like Lance Stephenson. These are not all-time great players. Give Paul George a lot of credit for that team. You know, he was the guy on that team, all right? Ever since he's left Indiana.
Wait, hold that point. Yeah, go ahead. For everything we talk about, the Miami Heat are overachieving. This team is better than that Pacers team.
Yeah.
And that Pacers team went up against LeBron, Wade, and Bosh.
Yes.
The reason why you liked him is because Paul George was doing what Jimmy Butler is doing right now, which is showing up in the playoffs.
He defense, two-way player, just elevating the team,
clutch,
elevating
everything.
His game, being clutch, everything. Okay, and he was young at that time, and he was going toe-to-toe with Bron, D-Wade, and Chris Bosh at the height of their powers.
That team was
stacked. You know, like they had the Mike Millers. They had all the bench guys too. Like it was crazy. It was just unfair. Of course, I get that, okay? Ever since he's left Indiana, this guy's done nothing. Cliff, what the freak has he done since leaving Indiana? He underachieved with the Thunder.
He did.
Got owned by Dame, called it a bad shot. Five games, Cliff. Five games. Dame just dismantled them. Okay, and then what? He leaves, goes to the Clippers. Clippers haven't done much. I mean, remember Kawhi got there and they're like, oh, foregone conclusion. Championship. Kawhi coming off the height of his powers, carrying this Raptors team on his back.
Get to a 3-1 lead. And then
just choke it all away. All right? And they were terrible. Like, Paul George was not. I mean, Kawhi was pretty bad. Paul George also bad in that series. I just don't get it. Why do people love him so much? He's good. Is he some kind of all-time great player? Dude, no, he's not. He's not. Is he a top 50 player all time? I don't think he's even close. I just don't get it. In the past, since he left Indiana, Cliff, real quick question. Since he left Indiana, what are his signature moments or performances, regular season or playoffs?
Getting to the Western Conference Finals on the Clippers. That's
But one. What's the performance? That's my question. What is the 50-point game? What is the moment? The buzzer beater?
There is
beater?
No,
like, what?
Performance.
Nothing, right? Kobe, nothing. Can you think of some? LeBron, can you think of some? Steph, can you think of some? Dame, can you think of some? Kyrie, can you think of some? Luka?
Even Kat, I can think of
Book,
some.
Book, Giannis. Yeah, even Kat probably has, you know. Ant? I mean, every player, when you say that name, I can think of some. Jalen Brunson. You know, like. Oh, yeah. Donovan Mitchell in the bubble. Like, there's these. Okay, I get why the legend exists, right? Because there are these moments. PG doesn't have the numbers. Don't back it up. Results don't back it up. Stories don't even back it. Like, what's the stories? Give me a story. give me a pro-am. Like, give me something. I don't get it, Cliff. I don't get it. I don't know why. I'm dumbfounded. I don't know.
I put him in our top 20 player rankings to start the season. You were very against it. I apologize. I must apologize. I must apologize here. Again, you're right. Does he have any memorable moments even this season? It's so recent. He has a better highlight package from his podcast.
That is true. And his podcast is also kind of mid. So
it is very mid. We've talked about this. It's not a top five basketball player podcast.
How can that be? How can that be true? But it's true.
PG-13, if you didn't know, his stats are 22-5-4 on 46% shooting. That is the most mid stat line I've ever heard.
What are Kyle Kuzma's stats? That sounds super similar to like what Kyle Kuzma's doing.
Kuzma's probably like 23-7-3 is my guess.
I'm gonna look up his stats right now.
Again, Paul George. He's the third most important player on his team. And he took away an all-star appearance from Jamal Murray. So we gotta give him the Hitsugaya Award.
Cliff, Kyle Kuzma, 23-7-4.
It's better stats.
It's better. It's literally better.
Also, Joe, just to hit on this Hitsugaya thing, a little bit of a side tangent. If you're watching Thousand Year Blood War, Zombie Hitsugaya, the dead version of Hitsugaya, not the real one, the one that's being controlled as a puppet, is like 100 times better than alive Hitsugaya, in control Hitsugaya. He takes down two ranked members, one with a Bankai, a Arankar, and a captain in 2 minutes.
Gosh. Oh,
that's,
my gosh.
That's also with some standing around. He, like, destroys them. I think he swung his sword maybe 6 times, and he destroyed them. I think that's why... That's why people rate Paul George, because they remember. They remember. They've seen it. He is a genius. He has Tracy McGrady-like powers.
Gosh.
It's in there.
It's crazy. Remember we did that PG Tracy McGrady thing? And like people went to bat for PG, and I'm just like, what? Guys, Tracy McGrady freaking led the league in scoring. Back-to-back seasons in Orlando. Do you remember how good? Like, amazing. Amazing. Like, if you're just going to talk about talent, I get the whole, you know, never got out of the first round thing. But if you're just going to talk about talent, because what has Paul George done, right? It's like, not like this guy's a multiple-time champion or something. He's never been to the finals. Got to the Western Conference Finals one time on that weird, I don't even get what really happened, and Kawhi got hurt and all this kind of stuff. I mean... I don't know, man. I don't know. Like, to me, Tracy McGrady was a far greater player. Far greater player than PG.
Far. Far, far, far. All right. Let's move forward. Let's talk about the Shikamaru Award. So if you don't know Shikamaru, dude really has, like, no powers. Dude also is the least studious. But somehow, he wins. Mm. Somehow, he wins. You wrote this in here. He's the Sherlock of the ninja world, basically.
Yeah, basically. If Sherlock were a ninja, that's this guy.
This is what we're calling the most underrated award. Most underrated player. Joe, the nominees. We got Tyrese Halliburton. We got Jamal Murray. And we got De'Aaron Fox. Who do you got?
Obviously, I have Tyrese Halliburton. My boy.
Of course. Of course.
My boy. 21, 11 and a half assists leading the league. Four boards, 48% shooting from the field, 37% from three. His field goal percentage is actually a little down this season because his three-point percentage has not been that good lately. But, look, I think a lot of people realize how good Halliburton is now because of his performance in the tournament. You know, he was an all-star. People see, like, how good he is. He probably should have won All-Star MVP. They kind of froze him out a little bit. The reason that I'm saying that he's underrated, Cliff, is because of one person specifically, and that's you. You are the reason that Tyrese Halliburton is underrated.
I am.
I'm saying he's underrated because in the vein of Brad Beal in the past and yes. Devin Booker in the past.
Yes.
When I was saying that they were great players before Brad Beal, like,
yeah,
you know, was having 30 plus point scoring averages, before Book was actually, you know, having some success before CP3 got there. I think that's Halliburton right now. I don't think people realize how good he is going to be for years and years to come. Obviously, they're not going to do much this season, you know, in the playoffs. But moving forward, he's going to be – his IQ is off the charts. I think in terms of the way that he runs the team, in terms of the way that he can get everybody in the right positions, he needs to learn a little bit more about game management. He'll get better at that. But in terms of just understanding the game – he's amazing. I don't think anyone is, like, he's up there basically, I'll say, with, like, the, you know, the Jokic's and, like, the, you know, someone like a Chris Paul, like these kind of guys who just IQ and who understand, like LeBron, who understand what's going on in the game. He doesn't have the management yet, but just the talent and the ability, the know-how, like he had the vision, he has it. Who do you got? Obviously not Tyrese Halliburton.
I had him top 25. We had him top 25 in our list. He probably should have been top 20. You know.
But you wanted him to be lower. I wanted Mikal Bridges to be lower.
You're
because
right.
As has been proven. At this point, Mikal Bridges was overrated. I think a lot of people thought last year's Mikal Bridges was reproducible, and I didn't see that as being possible.
You didn't see it because now that there's tape on him.
Yes.
Yeah, definitely Devin Booker, 17-3-3, what I assume. Same with Bradley Beal, 17-3-3. Bradley Beal, at the time, I think was 23 points per game when I said that. Then he jumped to 30 points per game. Devin Booker, when I said that, was 26 points per game, and he's been 26 points per game for the next six seasons.
Yeah. He's very consistent.
Very consistent. And then Halliburton, of course. You know, I didn't disrespect him as much as I disrespected the other guy. It was more that I believed in someone else over Tyrese Halliburton, which was a mistake. Sure. A lot of apologizing on this podcast. It was a mistake. I apologize, Tyrese. It was my bad. I didn't know you could lead the league in assists this well. I thought you were just a three-point shooter. All right, but Joe, my underrated award, I love Jamal Murray, I do, But I gotta give it to De'Aaron Fox. De'Aaron Fox is 27-4-6 on 47% shooting. Top 10 in scoring. He wasn't an all-star. They didn't give him all-star. Everyone else in the top 15 in scoring was an all-star except this man. He's sixth in clutch scoring on 48% shooting. Dude is balling. He is balling. Yeah. They are in the playoffs as of this recording. Jumping from the play-in to now the playoffs. They moved the Suns down. Like, this dude has proven it, right? Last year was not a fluke. Yeah. The Kings are for real. They're here to play. They look like Denver Light to me, right? Mm. Like, Sabonis is averaging 8 assists per game. Jokic is fourth.
Dude.
Sabonis is fifth.
Real quick, Sabonis owns AD, man. Oh my gosh. Owns him. He has AD's kryptonite.
Owns him. AD cannot defend him for the life of him. He doesn't know what he's doing. This is the same thing when he sees Jokic. He doesn't know what to do.
Dude, why do those guys make him seem so weak?
Yeah, the Kings and Denver are the two teams the Lakers cannot beat.
We can't.
They can't.
It's because of the it's literally because of Jokic and Sabonis, because we can't guard the because AD can't guard those guys. It messes up our whole defense.
But also, we don't have point guards that can guard Jamal Murray and De'Aaron Fox.
It's those true, but I feel like AD is a bigger problem because when AD can't guard, then there's nowhere to send those guys.
Yeah,
you have to guard them straight up one on one, and that's impossible. Yeah. You know, like any great guard. Even D'Lo, like, if these guys are going to just guard him one-on-one, like, he can go off like crazy, you know, like he did against the Bucks. And so, it's too hard. AD is our advantage to be able to funnel guys into the lane and then have help defense and him be able to recover. But when they can just stop AD by just tossing the ball into Jokic or Sabonis and they just own him one-on-one, yeah, it's just completely ruins everything. Then it's over for us. Like, we have no chance. I saw a thing actually recently that the last time we beat the Kings was when AD didn't play. It's when Thomas Bryant played. And Thomas Bryant, like, went crazy. He had, like, 29 and 11 or 14 or something like that. And so, I don't know, man. Does AD need to, like, get in the gym or what? Like, weight room? No, is that an issue?
It wasn't the strength. It's the savviness that really, when I see Sabonis' footwork on AD, I'm like, AD is lost.
Yeah.
He doesn't know what he's doing. And both of those guys, Jokic and AD and Sabonis, very good at finishing with both hands.
Yeah.
So you can't force them one way, which is what AD likes to do, right?
Yeah.
He likes to force you into the, like, position where you're, like, pump faking with one hand. He knows you're going to go with that hand, and then he blocks the hand. But, like, you can't do that with Sabonis because their footwork is good, and they can finish with both hands. I saw so many left-hand finishes from Sabonis on AD. And, like, AD is, like, the other way or on the ground.
Yeah. It's all the step-throughs. Yeah, it's, like, the step-throughs.
Yeah.
And same hand, same side. You know, a lot of those.
Yeah.
Like the Euros. Ah, gosh.
AD is coming off a 27-25-5-7-3 game. And then he gets owned by Sabonis.
He got dominated. Yeah, I mean, he got dominated.
He got dominated. But it
just, like, whenever I see, I think that's the thing, though. Whenever I see him on the ground and I just see, like, Sabonis just shouldering him, I'm like, come on, man. Like, stand your ground. Keep your arms up. You know, just at least make him shoot over you.
But De'Aaron Fox really is.
Anyway, sorry. Yeah.
He's the closer. All right. So even in that Lakers game, there was no answer for De'Aaron Fox. I think the reason why I like, you know, they're good. They're great. But Jokic is the lead in Denver and Jamal Murray is the follow. But it's the other way in the on the king side, and I feel like it's not as helpful that way. Like when you're big, when you're big is your best guy, especially like Sabonis, and he can facilitate like that. I think it's better than your clutch guy being the main point person until the fourth quarter.
Interesting.
That's my take, and why the Kings are gonna be like they will be like Shikamaru, but they may not achieve the greatness that current manga Shikamaru is.
Oh, is he or, like really great in there now?
Or like the Boruto arc,
the final version. Yeah,
the Boruto arc. Anyway, all right, next one. Let's do the Aizen Award. You know, for those that don't know Aizen, the dude is from Bleach. He's the worst of the worst villains. He's the guy that's in control of everything. Like, it's all in his plan. The mastermind. The mastermind award.
You know? Yeah. Yeah, early on, if you just look at his weapon, you've lost already.
What is that? What is that? We talked about Akuma, but this is way worse.
You already lost because he got in your head and you're tricked, basically. That's like, come on. That's only an anime.
The nominees are, we got Nick Nurse, Jamal Mosley, and Chris Finch. Who do you got?
Cliff, how is this not Mark Dagnall from OKC?
Oh.
Yeah. Has to be. Like, has to be. He's got the Thunder in first place in the West. You gotta give this man some credit. I love Nick Nurse. I love Jamal Mosley. What he's doing with Orlando is amazing. Chris Finch, I don't know, man. I honestly don't really like Chris Finch. I don't like the things he says. Maybe it's just my bias because I don't like the T-Wolves, so maybe that's why. But, dude, OKC. I mean, look, SGA is playing amazing, right? You got to give the coach some credit for that. This team is so young. They got their second best player. I don't even know who their second best player is. Is it Jalen Williams? Is it Chet Holmgren? I don't even know.
It's all by
neither
community.
Of those guys are all-stars, though. And neither of their numbers, like, jumps off the page. This team is just constructed well. When I watch them on the court, you know what? This is the craziest thing, Cliff. Most of the time, when I watch Thunder games, they look like the more mature team. Almost all the time when I'm watching them, they don't look like they panic. They know what they want to get to. Even if the game is close, even if it gets into clutch time, they know who their main guy is. Everybody knows their roles. I mean, I watch them play against the Lakers, and I'm like, I mean, and, you know, we beat them also, but, like, you know, the Lakers, when I compare them, I should say, to the Lakers, not play against the Lakers, but when I see the Lakers play a lot of games, man, we look flustered.
Yeah.
There's so many times where it's like, oh, shoot, what are we going to do? You know, are we going to do this? Like, are we going to do that? You know, a lot of people are getting on Darvin Ham. I know Darvin Ham's not the greatest coach. I just don't think the Lakers are that great in general, so I don't give him a lot of the blame. But compare that to the way that the Thunder run. They seem like they're always composed. So even in the playoffs, I know that it would be unprecedented for OKC to get to, for example, the Western Conference Finals. I think it's very rare that these young teams get that far, that deep in the playoffs, or to the finals even. However,
last team was OKC.
Well, OKC, right? Yeah.
12 years ago.
So I know it's very rare. However, I will say because of, you know, Mark Dagnall, I think that's how you pronounce it. I his name's spelled super weird. So if they were to do it, I wouldn't be shocked. Like, if Minnesota were to do it, I would be shocked. I mean, they're not going to do it now because Cats hurt. But even if they were to do it with a fully healthy roster. But if OKC were to do it, I'd be surprised. But I wouldn't be shocked, right, because of how well coached they are.
Yeah, I think that's great, for sure. And you know, I'll just talk about OKC now. The great parts about OKC, 3-1 against the Nuggets, 3-1 against the Clippers, 1-0 against the Celtics, 2-0 against the Suns and the Cavs. Like, they're winning the games that matter.
Yep. Right?
Not only is their record good, but they're beating the good teams.
Yeah. They're second in SRS, by the way, simple rating system. Third in offensive rating, fifth in defensive rating. Top five in offense and defense.
Poise, control, they got it. You know, they're doing it. The team they actually have problems with is the Lakers. They're 1-3 against the Lakers.
Yeah. I think LeBron is just good against them. That's why.
It's the Federer impact, right?
Right.
When you see Federer on the court, you're like, you already lost because you're scared, right?
Yep.
But the guys that aren't like that, I think OKC has a little bit of them. That might be their downfall.
They're young, yeah.
I want to give it to Nick Nurse. Likely most improved player, Maxey going from 23-4 to 26-4-6. First half MVP, Embiid went from 33-10-4 to 35-11-6. Like, he's done good work with Oubre. Buddy Hield's finally making threes again. Like, why would the Bucks take his backup? Like, we knew how good Nick Nurse was. Everyone knew how good Nick Nurse was. He is. Yeah. Like, you see it coming, right? Like, you see Eisen. Just don't look at it. Don't look at the sword. Don't look at it. But it's too late. It's too late. Everyone's murdering each other. It's too late.
Yeah, I mean, I don't hate Nick Nurse as the pick here. I think if Embiid didn't get hurt, it would be a lot more prevalent, right? We'd be able to see it. Because I do think Philly would be, like, playing crazy well.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I think they'd probably be competing with Boston for the number one seed, just had Embiid not gotten hurt. But, you know, hard to say now. He didn't even make the list, Cliff. He didn't even make the list.
I'm saving it for another one.
Okay, yeah.
All right, Joe. Let's move on to the Batman versus Superman award, which is AKA What is the Plan award, because what was the point of this movie? Why did we even make this?
Nobody understands.
The nominees, we got the Bucks, we got the Wizards, and we got the Warriors. Who do you got?
I mean, as much as I want to go Bucks, I know you're going to go Bucks. I'm going to go Wizards. What's the plan here, guys? I don't know what the Wizards are doing. I don't know. Why did they get Jordan Poole?
Why?
I just don't understand.
What was the plan? Giving away Bradley Beal.
Did they really think Jordan Poole was going to be, like, something? Like, I don't understand. Like, just save your money, suck, right? Like, get a good – I mean, if they had not gotten Jordan Poole, would they be in any different position right now?
They should have stayed with Chris Paul.
Yeah, stay with Chris Paul. Teach your guys some culture.
Yeah.
Like, let them learn, let them develop and grow.
Yeah.
And then, you know, that money will
come off. And then buy him out.
Yeah, and then that'll come off your books, and then you'll be well-positioned. You'll get a good pick. Actually, they might have been too good, honestly, with Chris Paul.
Yeah.
Maybe.
Yeah,
maybe they were thinking.
Remember when he took OKC by
himself?
Yeah,
that's what I'm thinking. Maybe we're going to mess around and make the playoffs. However, Cliff, you know what I think about that. And I think this actually proves it if we look at it, right? Look at the process. Look what happened to Philly. Conversely, look at what OKC has done and how quickly they have recovered from their missteps.
Celtics as well.
The Celtics too. I mean, come on, guys. This losing on purpose doesn't work. I don't think it ever works. It has not been proven to work. Look at the Magic. Weren't the Magic a joke like a season ago? Look at what they're doing now. They're already good. Paolo Banchero. Do you think Paolo Banchero would be better being on a crappy team where he's averaging more points, but they're like not winning any games? Or is he better on this team where he's learning culture? They play excellent defense. That has lasted the whole season.
And he wept. He wept because he hit a clutch shot and he thanked his teammates for believing in him.
I mean, Paolo's been amazing, honestly. I don't know his clutch numbers, but I think they're pretty good. Because when I watch him, this guy is good in the – he's pretty good in the clutch. Like, he weirdly makes a lot of threes. And so, look, this is – they're a young team. They look like
– 22nd in clutch scoring.
That's not bad, you know, for –
but shooting 40%, though.
For a young player of his caliber, I mean, he's above
– it's above Tatum.
But that's probably not a good.
he's above Luka.
Oh, I mean that's something.
He's above,
you know?
Maxi, Kawhi, KD.
I mean, that shows that he has at least the willingness, right? I'm sure the percentage will go up over time. Wizards, I just don't know, man. They got rid of Beal for nothing. They got Jordan Poole. They got rid of Chris Paul for nothing. They could have just kept Chris Paul. Like, this team is terrible. Gosh. They're so bad. How do they have so many bad players? They got rid of Gafford for nothing, too. And, like, they have just Avdija and, like, I don't even know. Like, it's just – and then they got Tyus Jones. Like, what were they thinking was going to happen? They got Tyus Jones. What did they think was going to happen? They thought they were going to be good? That's the thing, Cliff. Somebody thought that this was going to be good. Somebody was sitting in the writer's room being like, what if he says Martha? Because they're both their moms are named Martha. Like, mind blown. Right. Somebody thought this was a genius move.
So you thought I was going to go with the Bucks, right? Of course. They had a 33-13 coach, and then they got perennial fail upwards Doc Rivers.
Yep. And Bernard.
But you know what? They got Dame Lillard.
True.
Like, how great is that?
They got rid
of perennial playoff choker Jrue Holiday.
Hey, but, I mean, he had the steal that won the finals.
But as you've said for 6 years, defense is not about being clutch.
That's true.
Takes no clutchness. You just play defense. No,
yeah.
And they got Dame Lillard. They got Dame Dollar. So I cannot, in good conscience, give it to the Bucks. Now, the Warriors, you know, why do they have Chris Paul? I don't know. Why aren't they playing Kuminga and Moody more? Like, what? Why is Draymond so crazy? But I can't give all that blame to the Warriors.
Mm.
Joe, there's only one team. There's only one team.
Oh, yeah? You're doing it?
The only one team whose person on their team said, you don't want to be that team that loses to the Pistons, yet has a worse record than the Pistons, went on a 15-game losing streak themselves.
They were
inching closer to the worst losing streak of all time. It has to be the Wizards, Joe. What are they doing? What is the point? Why didn't they even trade Kuzma at the trade deadline? They could have done that. There were teams that were interested. You think his trade value is going up from here? You think it's going up? What are you talking about?
It's sad because Kuzma's actually like a good player now.
He is a good player.
He's 23. He's averaging better numbers than Paul George. Legit. Straight up. 23-7-4 on 47% shooting. 465. I mean, that's just legit straight up better than Paul George. He's probably played more games than Paul George. I haven't checked, but probably. He's played 64 games. I'm sure that's more than Paul George has played.
Look, we talked about how tanking doesn't work, right? We talked about it. Yes, we know. What? This team is tanking not on purpose. They're trying to win, and they're tanking. And it's like, oh, no.
Yeah,
what is happening?
To be clear,
here,
before people message me, I'm not saying he's better than Paul George. I'm just saying his numbers, okay? Yeah, I don't know what the Wizards are doing, Cliff. I don't know. I don't know. They have no plan. They just thought, let's get people. hey, Jordan Poole was on the Warriors. He's a champion. Let's just get him and let's just see what happens. And no, that doesn't work. That doesn't work in basketball. Things have to make sense. You've got to have a plan.
Everyone knew Jordan Poole, his culture, right? He always would play up for the hotties that were sitting around the court. Everyone knew.
Yeah.
Or as Gen Z calls them, the baddies, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Everyone knew. Yeah. Everyone knew. That's what he does. You want that guy to be your culture guy? Not only that, he also got Draymond to punch him. And for everything we know about Draymond, yes, yes. But the one person he actually managed to for real straight punch and not give a crap about anything else was Jordan Poole.
Yep.
What?
I don't know, Cliff.
What is happening here?
I can't explain it. I don't know. Because this is not explicable. Their choices. The things that they're doing. I mean, look, we knew they were going to be terrible. Everybody knew they were going to be terrible. Cliff, KP, they traded KP for nothing. They traded Chris Paul for nothing. They traded Bradley Beal for nothing. They did all that for nothing. They thought KP was somehow a liability. And then Gafford for nothing. Just all for nothing.
Their team last year, like, was solid. They had Beal. They had Kuzma. They had KP. They had Hachimura.
They had 3 20-point scores. Oh, my gosh. Cliff, they could be the Bulls right now. If they had just done the right things and identified the right issues, they could be, you know, in a 7-8 seed, getting better, and just kind of holding, right? Because you're not sure what you're going to do, right?
Yeah.
You got to see what's going to happen with Beal. Is he ever going to be the Beal he used to be? What's going to happen with KP? Is he going to be able to get healthy? What's happening with Kuzma? He's still a young player. You're not sure what he's going to become. Maybe he'll become something greater than you thought he would be, right?
Yeah.
So you just hold, right? And get better and, like, build your culture and get... Because eventually you can make that trade, right? Later on, if you at this year's trade deadline, if you see, like, all right, we're not going to be what we thought we were going to be, why would you blow it up to get Jordan Poole and Tyus Jones and think, oh, this is great. We're going to be great now. What's Tyus Jones's numbers? I got to look up Tyus Jones' numbers real quick. Because I thought it was hilarious that people were thinking, oh, but Tyus Jones is so good when Ja doesn't play. So he's going to be amazing on the Wizards.
What was he was 10, 2.55 on the Grizz. And he is 12-3-7 on the Wiz.
12-3-7. I mean, yeah. I mean, people were legit thinking this guy was going to be like 20-10.
It's respectable, right? Shooting 49% from the field, 41% from three. Solid.
I don't think he's bad at all. I don't think he's bad at all, Cliff. Why do you make a move to get a guy like that for this team?
It doesn't make sense.
It doesn't make sense. He's not part of the present or part of the future. So what is the point?
It doesn't make sense. They should have got Marcus Smart. That would have been more helpful.
Yes. Get some culture guys.
Culture guys.
Keep Chris Paul.
Go get Kyle Lowry, get Taj Gibson, get all those guys in there. I don't know. I don't know, man. I don't know. It's very weird. All right, last one, Joe. Last one. Let's go with the Miles Morales Award, which is the best newcomer that comes on. You know, we got the Orlando Magic, we got OKC, and we got Minnesota. But I said everything about OKC already. I have OKC. Projected 19th by Vegas.
Wow.
Under the Raptors.
Wow.
SGA, Chet, Jalen, Dort, Giddy, now Hayward in the mix. You know, they're number one in the West, tied with Denver. Like, who would have thought that would have happened? Give them credit. Give them where credit is due.
Yeah. I mean... I got to go OKC also. I think they're going to be good for years to come. Shout out to Orlando, though. you know, a team that I liked, actually, even early on in the season.
You've loved them. Good. You've loved them.
Yeah, they've been good. I really like how they play. It's weird, but they kind of remind me of like a Detroit-ish team, like an old school 0405 Detroit teams, because they don't really have a superstar. Like, Paolo Banchero is their star, like all-star caliber player. He's not really a superstar caliber player, certainly not right now. I'm sure maybe, you know, one day he'll get there. But then they got Franz. Jalen Suggs playing much better. As we've talked about, Jonathan Isaac has some, you know, absurd per 36 or whatever kind of like defensive stats. And, you know, he shows us. And then they got the other Wagner brother, Mo Wagner. They got Cole Anthony, who also just like spark plug off the bench. Like, they're very deep. That's like without even Markel. Markel's back. He's playing. He's doing some things. And he still shows those flashes, those D Rose flashes.
Yeah.
I love when he does that. I love when he just.
I like the way he moves.
Yeah.
Like, he moves dynamically.
Yeah, yeah. He's very like bouncy when he moves. I love that. And so.
I want him to be good. I want him to be good so bad.
Orlando's coming. Like, they're going to be, you know, they'll be in the, you know, Eastern Conference Finals discussion in like 3 years, I think. In like three seasons, right? Once Embiid's body completely fails him, and then Jimmy's too old, right? And the Heat are kind of declining, and, you know, I mean, Dame's already... he's only got like a 2 year window, basically. They got to get it done.
He's depressed.
I know, man. That's the problem. He didn't realize how boring Milwaukee is.
Yeah, he's like, and he's like, dude, I have no friends here. It's like, dang, that's so sad, dude. So sad. You need like a PJ Tucker or somebody to like hang out with you.
Man, if they get bounced early, oh, his emotional health is going to decline rapidly, and that's not going to be good for the Bucks.
All right, that's it for SBR Awards. Let us know what you think. Let us know if we got it right. Definitely let us know how you feel about Paul George. All right, thanks everyone for listening to the People's Pod. Subscribe, like, comment, share, rate, give us 5 stars. We'll be back next week with more nonsense. This is SBR with Luke and Joe. Peace.
Peace.